Chapter 17, continuing. Rupa Goswami explains that there are two ways to achieve bhava: by ardent spiritual practice and by the special mercy of Krishna or his devotee. So a pure devotee is always hearing and chanting about Krishna, so by associating with the person, automatically one practices devotional service. And by Prabhupada explains that one will get the chance to purify his heart and develop ecstatic pure love for Krishna by associating with pure devotees. Now there's some examples of bhava achieved by practice. You can achieve bhava bhakti by the practice of vaidhi sadhana or by the practice of raganuga sadhana. And the Nectar Devotion describes the story of Narada Muni, who achieved bhava bhakti by vaidhi sadhana. He served the Bhakti Vedantas, or the great devotees, during Chaturmasya. So it may be considered vaidhi because it was motivated not by his specific attraction to Krishna, but by obligation to shastric injunction. He was serving these great souls during Chaturmasya along with his mother, and in that way he was able to regularly hear Krishna Katha from their lips. And by this regulated hearing, he achieved bhava. We find that vaidhi bhakti does lead to bhava, and even the most exalted Narada Muni attained perfection through vaidhi practice. So we can attain bhava by repeatedly listening to the discourses of pure devotees. Prabhupada sums up a quote from Kapila Muni in page 133. When a realized soul speaks Krishna consciousness, he has a potency to inject spiritual life within the audience. One should seek association with such pure and alloyed devotees. And by this, a neophyte will certainly develop attachment, love, and devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukamrishati. This is a line from the Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Verse 25. Paraphrased by Prabhupada. So now, how one attains bhava bhakti by the practice of raganuga sadhana. And there's a story from the Padma Puran about a lady named Chandrakanti who saw the deity of Krishna and then developed an intense desire to dance with Krishna throughout the night. So her dancing is an example of raganuga sadhana bhakti, because she desired to develop the sentiments of the Ragatmikas, the Brajagopis. So by this Raganuga sadhana, she achieved bhava, evidenced by the fact that she remained dancing all night without wasting a moment to take rest. So the reluctance to waste time is a symptom of bhava, one of the nine symptoms which will be discussed later, known as avyarta kalatvam. So Chandrakanti, she was meditating in the form of Krishna. This created longing in her heart to engage in the rasa dance with Krishna like the Brajagopis. So she had the mental determination to dance before the Lord for his pleasure. She attained similar feelings that the gopis had. Chandrakanti herself said, "Oh, my beloved Krishna is more attached to me than many other damsels, because he is expressing his fondness for me and is dancing with me by embracing my neck." So the Jiva Goswami comments, and Radha herself was graciously pleased with Sri Chandrakanti, both during her stages of spiritual practice as well as in her final state of attainment of Krishna. And thus Sri Radha accepted Damsel Chandrakanti as her own Sakhi and made all her feelings towards Krishna identical with her own feelings or bhava towards Krishna. That's why in some places the scriptures refer to Chandrakanti as being identified with Sri Radha. Now, another way to achieve bhava is by mercy. And there's three ways. Well, this is very uncommon. Prabhupada uses the analogy. But just as it's uncommon to complete college by receiving an honorary degree without attending, it's also very rare to achieve bhava by mercy alone. But Rupa Goswami explains that there are three ways of receiving Krishna's mercy: by words, glances, and good wishes. First is vachika, by a verbal blessing. The second is darshan dan, blessing by appearing in person to the devotee. And third is harda, a heartfelt, unspoken blessing. The first way to receive Krishna's mercy is vachika, verbal blessing. And the Naradiya Purana shows that Krishna blesses Narada to achieve bhava bhakti. "Oh, best of the Brahmins," said Krishna, "I wish that you may develop unalloyed devotional service to me, which is full of transcendental bliss and all auspiciousness." This is darshan dan, blessing by personal appearance. While this Skanda Purana explains that the inhabitants of Jungala province saw Krishna, they were so stricken with feeling that they could not withdraw their glance from him. Although these residents were not qualified to see the Lord, out of his causeless mercy he gave them his darshan. When they glanced upon him, they became stricken with feelings of bhava, and they could not look away from the Lord for a moment. The third way to obtain the mercy of Krishna is harda, H-A-R-D-A, heartfelt blessings. Krishna or his devotee may bestow heartfelt blessings. There's an example given from the Shuka Samhita that while Shukadeva Goswami was still in the womb, he achieved bhava. Even though he did not see or hear the Lord, one can understand that somehow he attained this perfection by the blessings of the Lord. And then there are two other examples of achieving bhava by the heartfelt good wishes of a devotee. The first is Prahlad Maharaj, who received Narada's good wishes while still within his mother's womb, Kayadu. The second is Murghari the hunter, who became an exalted devotee by the good wishes of Narada. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, he also gives some discussion of bhava bhakti. Some is repetitive, but we can hear again. So when bhakti attains maturity, it automatically cleanses all misgivings and anarthas from the heart of the sadhaka. At that time, bhava bhakti can manifest in a transparent heart by the mercy of Krishna or his devotee. So previously we discussed this verse, Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma Premasrayam Shusam Yavak Ruchibish Chitta Masrinya Kridaso Bhava Uchite. This verse, Rupa Goswami explains the characteristics of bhava. And one is ruchibish, that it softens the heart by various tastes. So there's three kinds of tastes. One is called Bhagavat Prapti Abhilash, which means that the heart becomes softened by an intense desire to attain Sri Krishna. the other is a second type of ruchi or taste. It's called anukulya abhilash, the desire to do that which is favorable to Krishna. And three is sohardha abhilash, desiring to serve the Lord with affection or with heart, with heartfelt feelings. This means sohardha abhilash. So Shuddha Sattva refers to the self-manifested cognitive function, Samvit Vritti, of Krishna's internal spiritual energy known as Swarup Shakti. So this word here in the definition, Vishesh Atma, means special, Vishesh. So this refers to the supreme potency, Mahashakti, of Swarup Shakti known as Ladini. So it should be understood that this condition is known as Mahabhav, is the highest state of development of Ladini Shakti, is included within Shuddha Sattva Vishesh. So Shuddha Sattva, which is a combination of Samvit and Ladini, is eternally situated in the hearts of Krishna's associates. So the Nitya Siddha Bhava situated in the hearts of Krishna's eternal associates is called Shuddha Sattva Vishesh. So this Bhava Bhakti is like the first ray of the sun of Prem Bhakti. Bhava, the word bhava, what does it mean? The word bhava means love, affection, or emotion. Sometimes the word is also called rati. This is a fully spiritual reality, chitta. It is not a substance belonging to the world of inert matter. The mundane affection of the conditioned souls towards material sense objects is merely a perverted reflection arising from contact with matter. This is a reflection of the pure, true spiritual bhava of the jiva. In other words, when we're in the material world, we start taking up, practicing bhakti in relation to Krishna, then rati in its cognitive aspect, samvit amsha, becomes the cause of tasting worthy objects related to the Supreme Lord. At the same time, by the virtue of the pleasure-giving aspect, rati aladini, rati itself bestows supreme delight. Now the next chapter, chapter 18, will discuss the symptoms of bhava bhakti. And one can understand how near he is or far he is from bhava bhakti by seeing these symptoms. Chapter 18. The character of bhava bhakti, or character of ecstatic love. Symptoms of bhava. So one characteristic of bhava, which is mentioned in the verse by Prabhu Swami, is chitta masrinya, which means that the consciousness or heart is softened and is sensitive to Krishna conscious emotions. Various emotions, emotional reactions such as crying, shivering, faltering of the voice, symptomize such a soft disposition. Of course, an actor or an actress can imitate tears and shivering. So the ability to cry or shiver does not mean that such persons have attained bhava bhakti. Sometimes devotees who really have bhava may purposely hide their emotions, so external symptoms are not sufficient evidence to ascertain whether a devotee has achieved bhava bhakti. There are nine reliable symptoms that Rupa Goswami gives. The 9 character traits possessed by a genuine Bhava Bhakta. So these symptoms can neither be imitated nor concealed. They are an excellent standard for ascertaining the achievement of Bhava. I'll just give the list. The first is called Avyartha Kalatvam, utilization of time. In other words, 24 hours a day, one is constantly engaged in Krishna's service. 2. Shanti, perseverance or tolerance, remaining tolerant and patient even amid disturbance. 3. Virakti, detachment, complete indifference to the objects of sense gratification. Of course, there are two types of detachment, vairagya and virakti. So before we achieve bhava, we may be able to manifest vairagya. That is, we can forcibly separate ourselves from the objects of sense gratification and thus control our senses. At the stage of bhava, however, we manifest a superior type of detachment, which is known as virakti, wherein we completely lose all taste for sense objects. Thus, our senses remain entirely controlled, even if we are directly in the midst of sense objects. Number 4. Man shunyata, pridelessness, to feel humble even though one is extremely elevated. 5. Asha bandha, hope against hope, to possess the firm faith that Krishna will deliver one to the highest perfection, even though one feels low and utterly unqualified to achieve it on his own. So this humility, or this actually comes, this state comes due to a level of self-realization. When one becomes fully aware of how insignificant and helpless he actually is, one realizes that it's impossible to achieve anything on his own, not to mention achieving the highest, most rare Krishna prema. Thus, the devotee becomes despondent. However, at the level of self-realization, one can understand the Lord's omnipotence and unfathomable affection for all living entities. Therefore, although one is completely unable to achieve anything on his own, he is sure and confident that Krishna will help him. Thus, he becomes confident of achieving the highest success in spite of his disqualifications. Number 6. Smutkanta, intense eagerness to achieve pure loving service. 7. Nam Gane Sada Ruchi, constant attraction to chanting Hare Krishna. 8. Asaktis Tad Gunakyane, addiction to glorifying Krishna's qualities. 9. Pritis Tad Vasati Stale, love for living in the Lord's Dham. So after listing these qualities, there's actually a shloka, this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which describes these 9 symptoms of Bhava Bhakti. Shantir avyarta kala tvam viraktir manashunyata ashabanda samutkanta namagane sadaruchi asaktistad gunakyane pritistad vasatistale ityadayo nubhava syur jata bhavanu bhavan kurejane. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1:3, verse 25-26. So Prabhupada lists avyarta kalatvam, utilization of time. An unalloyed devotee who has developed ecstatic love for Krishna, Bhava Bhakti, is always engaging his words and reciting prayers to the Lord, thinking of Krishna within his mind and offering obeisances and bowing down before the deity, or engaging in some other service. Due to these ecstatic activities in bhava, he sometimes cries. In this way, his whole life is engaged in Krishna's service, with not a moment wasted on any other engagement. So this means, in other words, one spends one's time exclusively in Bhagavad Bhajan, avoiding all other futile material engagements. This is called avyartha kalatva, effective use of one's time, and this is one of the nine symptoms of one who has attained bhava bhakti. He's always anxious to utilize his time in serving Krishna. He does not like to be idle. He wants to serve always 24 hours a day without deviation, tolerance. When a person is undisturbed, even in the presence of various causes of disturbance, he is called reserved in perseverance. Sometimes it's described that when the heart remains unagitated in spite of the presence of some agitating element, this means that one has the quality or symptom of forbearance or tolerance, detachment, virakti, which we mentioned, or soul perseverance, always reserved in perseverance. Virakti means detachment. The senses are always desiring sense enjoyment, but when a devotee develops transcendental love for Krishna, the senses no longer attracted. His senses are no longer attracted by material desires. This state of mind is called detachment. In the Bhagavatam, 5th canto, it explains, Emperor Bharat was so attracted by the beauty of the lotus feet of Krishna that even in his youthful life, he gave up all kinds of attachments to family, children, friends, and kingdom, as though they were untouchable stools. So this is virakti. To be always attached, to be always detached from material attraction. So in other words, it's a natural distaste for material sense enjoyment. This happens upon the appearance of bhava. So the attraction, then attraction towards the spiritual dimension, chit and jagat, becomes progressively stronger and stronger. And concomitantly, one's taste for material world gradually perishes. This is real detachment. It's easy to become detached from one thing if you're attached to another. So when we become attached to Krishna, more and more, or fully attached, then we become fully and fully, more and more, fully detached from this material world. Number four, man shunyata, to be pridelessness. When a devotee, in spite of possessing all the qualities of pure realization, is not proud of his position, he is called prideless. It means being absence of pride. So what is it? How does one become proud? We become proud of our high birth or social classification, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Varna. Our stage in life, I'm sannyasi, brahmachari, etc. Our wealth, our strength, beauty, high position in society. So in spite of possessing all these qualities, a sadhaka in whose heart bhava has manifested easily renounces all these vanities. In the Padma Puran, Rupa Goswami cites the story of King Bhagirathi, the crest jewel among kings, who had attained Krishna Rati. He completely renounced the pride of his kingdom and all his wealth, and he performed intense bhajan and maintained his existence by begging from door to door in the cities of his enemy kings. He always offered obeisances and praise to everyone, whether they were brahmanas or chandalas, dog eaters. Great hope. Ashabanda, The strong conviction that one will certainly receive the favor of Krishna is called ashabandha, positive hope. One thinks, because I'm trying my best to follow the routine principles of devotional service, I am sure that I will go back home, back to Godhead. Rupa Goswami prays, I have no love for Krishna, nor for the causes of developing love of Krishna, namely hearing and chanting about Krishna, and the process of bhakti yoga, by which one is always thinking of Krishna and fixing his lotus feet in the heart, is also lacking in me. As far as philosophical knowledge or pious works are concerned, I don't see any opportunity for me to execute such activities. But above all, I am not even born of a nice family. Therefore, I simply pray to you, Gopijana Vallabha. I simply wish and hope that some way or other I may be able to approach your lotus feet. And this hope is giving me pain, because I think myself quite incompetent to approach that transcendental goal of life. The purport of Rupa Goswami's prayer is that under this heading of ashabandha, one should continue to hope against hope that some way or other he will be able to approach the lotus feet of Krishna. In other words, Sri Krishna will certainly bestow his mercy upon me. We should apply our minds very diligently in bhajan with this firm faith, a steadfast hope that Krishna will bestow his mercy upon me. This is known as ashabandha. The sixth symptom of bhava bhakti is samutkanta, eagerness for achieving desired success. When one is sufficiently eager to achieve success in bhakti, that eagerness is called samutkanta. This means complete eagerness or the utmost anxiety. Actually, this eagerness is the price for achieving success in Krishna consciousness. Everything has some value, and one has to pay the value before obtaining or possessing it. To purchase the most valuable thing, namely Krishna consciousness, one has to develop intense eagerness for achieving success. This eagerness is very nicely expressed by Bilva Mangala Thakur in Krishna Karnamrita. He says, my eyes are ever restless to see that Brajakishore who enchants the entire world. His eyebrows are dark and slightly curved. His eyelashes are thick and dense, and his eyes are always restless to see those who have anurag. His mild speech is exceedingly soft and filled with rasa. His lips are as sweet and tasty as nectar, and slightly reddish copper in hue. And who carries a flawless flute, whose inexplicably sweet and mild tones madden everyone and incite the gopis' calm. So this kind of intense hankering of Bilva Mangala to see Krishna is called samutkanta, and it is ever present in the hearts of bhava bhaktas. So this, what in summary, this samutkanta means intense longing for one's desired object of attachment. So when bhava bhakti actually manifests in the heart of a sadhaka, his hankering to obtain Sri Krishna increases day by day. The desire to serve Sri Krishna, or in our case, in Mandri Bhav, Sri Radha, becomes the obsession of his heart. He becomes obsessed, possessed and obsessed, and driven, maddened by intense desire and longing to attain Krishna and serve him in love. Number 7. Number 7, Namagane Sadaruchi. This is a loving thirst to always sing Harinam, or the glories of the Lord. And Krishna Karnamrita describes about the chanting of Radharani. One of Radharani's sakis met with Krishna, and Krishna inquired from her, what is Radharani doing? What is her condition? How does she feel? And that sakhi said to Krishna, hey, Lord Govinda, Prishubhanu Nandini is now shedding tears and anxiously chanting your name, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Number 8, Gunakyane Asakti. This is an eagerness to describe Krishna's transcendental qualities. In other words, to be always eager to describe Krishna's transcendental qualities. This is also expressed in a shloka from Krishna Karnamrita. Bilvamangala prays, what shall I do for Krishna, who is pleasing beyond all pleasurable conceptions, and who is naughtier than all restless boys? The idea of Krishna's beautiful activities is attracting my heart, and I do not know what I can do. So this Asakti Tad Gunakyane, or Gunakyane Asakti, is a natural and spontaneous attachment to describe Krishna's supremely charming qualities. So the significance of this attachment is that for Bhava Bhaktas, or Jata Bhava Bhaktas, then Jata means born, or in those devotees whose bhava has arisen, the thirst to hear and describe the charming pastimes of Krishna, which are decorated with all auspicious qualities, is never satiated. The more they hear and describe the Lord's qualities, the more their thirst increases, more and more. The ninth symptom of one in bhava bhakti is tadvasati stale priti, attraction for living in a place where Krishna has his pastimes. In other words, such a bhava bhakti is very pleased to live in a place where the Lord's pastimes are performed, such as Mathura, Vrindavan, or Dwarka. Rupa Goswami writes, a pure devotee of Krishna resides in Vrindavan and visits all the places where Krishna's pastimes were performed. If someone goes to Vrindavan, he will immediately feel separation from Krishna, who performed such nice activities when he was present there. Such attraction for remembering Krishna's activities is known as attachment for Krishna. Page 139, Nectar Devotion. Affection for the transcendental residence of the Lord. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes in some of his songs the actions of someone who comes to the holy Dham. In the course of circumambulating Brajmandal, the Yatri arrives in Vrindavan, and being overwhelmed with spiritual emotion, which is bhava, bhava bhakti, he inquires from the Brijbasis, hey, Brijbasis, where is Sevakunj, Nirubhan, Vamshivat, and Radhakund? Then a Brijbasi bhakta will take him by the hand and show him Sevakunj. Arriving at Sevakunj, he falls down in the courtyard and begins to roll on the ground, exclaiming, how wonderful, how wonderful! At this very spot, Rasika Shekhar Brajendranandan served the lotus feet of our worshipful mistress, Swamini Srimati Radhika. O Sevakunj, O dust particles of this place, O creepers and trees of this place, may you kindly bestow your mercy upon us. When will we obtain the mercy of Sevakunj? This can also be said for Radhakund. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is describing his prayer here, that a Brijbasi Bhakta may take one by the hand and lead one to Radhakund. Arriving at Radhakund, one will fall down on the banks of Radhakund and begin to roll on the ground and exclaim, oh, Chamatkar, Chamatkar, hey, how wonderful. At this very spot, Brajendranandan Sri Krishna, he swung on a swing with Srimati Radhika, and he played in the water with Srimati Radhika, and he enjoyed Ban Bihar with Srimati Radhika, and he played holy with Srimati Radhika, and he engaged in Pasha Kela, or gambling with Srimati Radhika, and he drank honey wine with Srimati Radhika, and he wandered in the six seasonal forests of Lita's Kunja. Radhakund, O dust particles of Radhakund, O creepers and trees of Radhakund, may you kindly bestow your mercy upon us. When will we attain the mercy of Radhakund? This is called affection for the places of Krishna's residence. Tadvasati stale priti. A second example is follows in relation to Navadvipdham, Gordham. While performing Prikrama of Navadvip, one inquires with tearful eyes and his hair standing upright due to ecstasy, O Dhamvasis, where is the birthplace of our Gaurasundar? Which path did he use while performing kirtan with his devotees? Upon being shown these places by the residents of the Dham, his voice becomes choked up with spiritual emotions, bhava bhakti. He begins to roll on the ground and exclaims, how wonderful this is, Mayapur Dham. Even though it is non-different in every respect from Braj, it confers even greater mercy than Braj. O Janamstan of Gaurasundar, please bestow your mercy upon this insignificant and worthless person. Saying this again and again, that devotee becomes deeply overwhelmed with spiritual emotion. This is called affection for the places of the Lord's residence. To reside in these places with great love and perform bhajan is also included within this ninth symptom of bhava bhakti. Pritistha vasati stale, love for living in the Lord's Dham. So these nine symptoms, anubhavas, are manifested in a devotee in whose heart the prem ankur, or the sprout of bhav, has arisen. It may be understood that the devotee in whom the sprout of love is visible has become eligible to receive the direct audience of Krishna. So these are nine reliable symptoms which are an excellent standard for telling whether one has achieved bhava bhakti. I'll give the nine list again. Avyarta kalatvam, utilization of time or constant engagement in Krishna's service 24 hours a day. Shanti, tolerance or perseverance, remaining patient even amidst disturbances. 3. Virakti, detachment, complete indifference to the objects of sense gratification. Man shunyata, pridelessness, to feel humble even though one is extremely elevated. Asha bhanda, hope against hope, to possess the firm faith that Krishna will deliver one to the highest perfection, even though one feels low and utterly unqualified to achieve it on his own. Smutkanta, intense eagerness to achieve pure loving service. Nama gane sada ruchi, constant attraction to chanting Hare Krishna. Asaktis tadganakyane, addiction to glorifying Krishna's qualities, name, pastimes. Pritis Tadvasati Stale, love for living in the Lord's Dham, love for living in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And the rest of the chapter talks about Pratibimba Ratyabhas, Chaya Ratyabhas, and genuine bhava, and ecstatic symptoms in neophytes or non-devotees. Sometimes we see neophytes or non-devotees crying, rolling on the ground, their hair standing on end. But the pure, the genuine ecstatic symptoms are the private domain of advanced devotees who have strong and exclusive attachment for Krishna. Genuine ecstatic symptoms can never appear in people attached to sense gratification and liberation. Even those who arduously execute sadhana bhakti may not attain bhava. What can be said of non-devotees? So when we see that neophytes or non-devotees display emotions that resemble the symptoms of bhava, those symptoms are called vritti abhas, which means a reflection of vritti or bhava. There are two types of reflected bhava or vritti abhas. One is called pratibimba reflective, and the other is called shadow. So pratibimba vritti abhas, which is reflective attachment. So this happens when someone may execute bhakti with an ulterior motive for karma or mukti. Although the motive is corrupt, the practice is usually quite intense. Such a person may perform devotional activities in the association of advanced devotees and at that time may experience symptoms that resemble ecstasy, because the genuine ecstasy of the advanced devotees he's associating with is reflecting upon the mirror of his heart. Pratibimba means reflection or mirror. May cooperate and join in the chanting with some pure devotees, and then the moonlike rays from the pure devotees' hearts will reflect on him, and that person may show some likeness of attachment. Second type is shadow attachment, chaya ratyabhas. So sometimes a person performs bhakti out of curiosity. So this devotional service is less intense, but the motive is not nearly as corrupt as one in pratibimba ratyabhas. So such people may exhibit a slight resemblance of ecstatic symptoms, especially when they join kirtan, attend festivals, visit the holy dham, or get the association of saintly persons. So this is called shadow or para attachment. It can develop if one, Prabhupada explains on page 140, if one associates with pure devotees or visits Vrindavan, even an ordinary man may develop attachment for Krishna and fortunately perform devotional service in the association of pure devotees. So transforming ratyabhas into genuine bhava. The devotee's power is the only cause of both semblances of ecstasy. If one serves devotees, his imitative attachment can transform into genuine attachment. So association with pure devotees is the key to success. And by receiving the mercy of pure devotee. But such mercy is attained by service and blocked by offenses. So if someone offends a devotee, whatever little attachment he has achieved, real or imagined, will wane and disappear. So then Rupa Goswami describes what he calls apparently causeless bhava. Sometimes we see a person, he has not really undergone any serious devotional practices, but suddenly he manifests symptoms of ecstasy. So we should not automatically assume that he's pretending or exhibiting one of the varieties of Ratya Bhas, his ecstasy may be genuine, and Prabhupada explains, because of his status of devotional service, his advancement was from previous life, or former life. So what about, what is our attitude towards faults in a devotee? So it says, Rupa Goswami explains, that a person on the platform of Baba may still have some fault. So how should we understand it? So Rupa Goswami explains, although Baba has arisen, it has not yet completely destroyed all sinful reactions. One should regard such, quote, faults, or one should disregard them, understanding that soon the devotee will become completely perfect by the glorious force of his devotion. Prabhupada states in 142, the full moon has spots that appear like pockmarks. Still, the illumination of the full moon cannot be checked. Similarly, a little fault in the midst of volumes of devotional service is not at all to be counted as a fault. Chapter 19, Prema Bhakti, Devotional Service and Pure Love of God. So this is, bhava softens the heart, and prema softens it completely. When bhava deepens to its maximum point, it's called prema. There's a definition given here of prema, Madhyalila, chapter 23, verse 7. Samyan masrinita swanto mamatvatish yankita bhavasa eva sandratma bude prema nigadyate. When that bhava softens the heart completely, becomes endowed with a great feeling of possessiveness in relation to the Lord, and becomes very much condensed and intensified, it is called prema, love of God by learned scholars. So the primary characteristics of prema is bhavasa eva sandratma. Sandratma means condensed or concentrated. So prema is a concentrated or condensed form of bhava. Is the primary. The secondary characteristics of prema are samyan masrinita swanto. It completely softens the heart, and mamatva atishayankita. One becomes, has a mood of highly possessive ownership of Sri Krishna. Mamatva. Ordinarily, devotional service has a mood of tadiya, I am Krishna's. Prema Bhakti, however, has the mood of Mamatva, Krishna is mine. In Bhava Bhakti, one sees the Lord and understands his eternal relationship with Krishna. In Prema Bhakti, however, one actually enters the Lord's pastimes in his or her eternal spiritual identity, overwhelmed by the mood that Krishna is my lover, my friend, or my son. So there are two ways to achieve prema: by the maturation of bhava, and by the Lord's extraordinary mercy. So the first one is prema arising from the development of bhava. So there's two subdivisions of prema arising from bhava. Vaida bhavoto, prema arising from bhava achieved through vaidhi sadhana, and raganugya. Bhavatu. Prema arising from bhava achieves the raga nuga sadhana. So Prabhupada explains in 144, a devotee practicing vaidhi bhakti develops his natural Krishna consciousness, and when becomes soft at heart, he chants and dances like a madman. While chanting the holy name, he cries and talks wildly, sings, and sometimes without caring dances like a madman. So this shows that constant vaidhi, regulative practice, can arouse bhava. Now this is the second type of bhava achieved through raganuga sadhana. And this, again, Rupa cites the story of Chandrakanti. She wanted to develop the mood of the Vrajagopis. So by this practice she achieved bhava. She decided to accept no one else but Krishna as her husband, and became indifferent to anyone else other than Krishna. This is Vairakti. By the development of her bhava-bhakti, she began to constantly meditate on Krishna's form with the concept that Krishna is my lover. This is mamatva, a symptom of prema. Thus, Chandrakanti achieved prema by maturation of bhava she had achieved through Raghunuga sadhana. This is a commentary of Jiva Goswami. Now, the third way to attain prema is achieved by the extraordinary mercy of Krishna. And this is described in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, 12th verse, 12th chapter, verse 7. Krishna tells Uddhava, "The Brajagopis didn't study the Vedas to achieve me, nor had they ever been to in holy places of pilgrimage. They didn't execute any regular principles or undergo any kind of austerity. It is simply by my association they've attained the highest perfection of devotional service." So there are two types of prema, bhakti. Mahatmyam gyan, prema mixed with knowledge of the Lord's majesty, and kevala, or unmixed pure prema. Mahatmyam gyan prema, as the Narad Pancharatra describes, this prema imbued with knowledge, the mahatmyam, or greatness, of the Lord. This is on page 145, Nectar Devotion. "If on account of profound veneration for the greatness of Krishna one attains great affection and steady love for him, one is certainly assured of achieving four kinds of Vaishnava liberation." So devotees who achieve bhava through vaidhi sadhana can attain mahatmyam gyan prem, kevala prem. This is pure and one-pointed prema. It's not slightly mixed with any other aspiration or interest, such as aspiration for Vaikuntha liberation or interest in the Lord's profound power and opulence. A devotee with kevala prema always lovingly fixes his mind upon Krishna without the slightest deviation toward any other topic. And Rupa quotes Narada Pancharatra, "A devotee continuously in love with Krishna and mind always fixed on him, that devotional attitude will prove to be the only means of attracting the attention of the Lord. A Vaishnava always thinks of Krishna's form as to be known as a pure devotee." Devotees who achieve bhava from Raghunuga sadhana can attain kevala prema. So the evolution to prema. So generally, aside from receiving Krishna's mercy, we attain prema only by persistent ardent practice and the gradual evolution from shraddha to prema, Rupa Goswami describes. Hado shraddha tata sadhu sanguta bhajana kriya tato narta nivritti syat tato nishta ruchis tataha Atha saktis tato vavas tato prema vyadanchati sarakanam mayam premna pradur bhave bhavet karamaha. In the beginning there must be faith, then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Therefore one is initiated by the spiritual master and executes regulative principles under his orders, becomes freed from all unwanted habits and firmly fixed in devotional service, then develops taste and attachment. This is the way of sadhana bhakti, the execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles of vaidhi sadhana. Gradually emotions intensify and finally there is an awakening of love. This is the gradual development of love of Godhead for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. Madhyalila chapter 23, verse 14 and 15. Prabhupada summarizes these verses in Nectar Devotion, page 146, first paragraph. Premi Bhakta is so overwhelmed by waves of transcendental emotion that he can't even perceive external happiness or distress. So trying to measure his success by conventional standards is fruitless. And Shiva tells Parvati, "My dear goddess, you may know from me that anyone who has developed the ecstasy of love for Krishna, and is always merged in transcendental bliss on account of this love, cannot even perceive the material distress or happiness coming from the body or mind. Now we're beginning chapter 20 of the Nectar Devotion. And this starts the second section of Nectar Devotion, which is divided, the ocean of devotion is divided into four sides. This is the southern side called Dakshin Vibhag, or Samanya Bhagavat Bhakti Ras, which is the general symptoms of transcendental mellow. And it has five waves. Each wave discusses the elements of Uras, Bhakti Ras, the causes for tasting Bhakti Ras, Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvik Bhav, Vyabhachari Bhav, and Stayu Bhav. Before beginning, there's a nice song, Gita Mala, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is called The Necessity of Knowledge That Distinguishes Between Material and Spiritual Rasa. Rupanuga Tattvasara Bujite Akanksha Janra Rasagyana Tanaprayojana Chinmayananda Rasa Sarvatattva Janra Basa Akanda Paramatattva Dan Janra Bane Gyani Janra Bhani Gyani Jana Brahmaloy Anvishana Korinahi Bhuji Veda Marma Janra Chaya Matrabare Jogi Jana Joga Kore Jara Chale Karmi Kore Karma Vibhava Anubhava Ar Sattvika Sanchari Char Stahi Bhave Milana Sundara Stahi Bhave Rasa Hoy Nitya Chirananda Moy Parama Swadya Nirantara Jai Rasa Prapancha Gata Jarakavye Prakashita Paramarase Asamurti Asamurti Nitya Noi Adarsher Chaya Hoy Jaina Mari Chika Jalaspurti Rupanuga Tattvasara Bhujite Akanksha Janra Rasagyana Tanra Prayojana. Translation. For those who long to understand the essential truth of Rupanuga Tattva, the path following Sri Rupa Goswami, it is necessary to have some basic knowledge of rasa, transcendental mellows. Such spiritually blissful conscious mellows influence and control all other subordinate truths, for they are the hidden treasure of the supreme, absolutely indivisible truth of all truths. In pursuit of these spiritual mellows, rasa, the philosophical speculators seek to merge themselves with the impersonal Brahman effulgence, not understanding the real import of the Vedic conclusion. All the desired boons of the yogis are simply shadow reflections of this rasa. Attempting to taste this mellow, the karmis perform all their fruitive activities. The permanent basis of ecstatic mellow is called Stahi Bhav, and it is abounding in eternal conscious bliss. It becomes the topmost relishable euphoria when it mixes into a beautiful combination along with the following four elements. Vibhav, which means supporting characters and specific stimulants. Anubhav, 13 resultant ecstatic symptoms, 3 sattvic bhavs, 8 especially disruptive ecstatic symptoms, sanchari or vyavachari bhavs, 33 transitory assisting emotions. When this ras finds expression in the material world, it is praised throughout the mundane poetic literatures of the world. But that is only a distorted reflection of the original supreme mellow. It is not eternal, but is an imitation or a shadow of the real thing, like a mirage which appears to be water in a desert.